The Windows Media Center Show, Wednesday, 28th September 2005, Show 26.
You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.
It's Wednesday, 28th September 2005. I'm Ian Dixon, and on this week's show, with three guests, Declan Fitzgerald from Microsoft in Ireland is going to be talking about the new eHome Development Centre in Dublin and the opportunities for developers there. Then we've got Ted Singh joining us to talk about the Media Centre trends from the Cedia Trade Show. And then Jeff Twybell has got a special piece he sent in about how to fix up your music collection with your album art and your tags and all those kind of things. Well worth listening to. So keep listening to the show, and Jeff's coming up later. First, some email and news. Ian Howard sent me a link to an article that Paul Thurrott posted about the additions of Vista. I posted it on my blog, but I haven't mentioned it on the show, so I thought I'd mention that. Now, there's been no official confirmation from Microsoft, and I would imagine this is subject to change. Some of the categories that Paul's listed are in the Home category, Vista Starter Edition, Vista Home Basic Edition, Vista Home Premium Edition and Vista Ultimate Edition. And the key point for Media Center users on there is that Media Center will be included in the Premium Edition and the Ultimate Edition. And in the business category, Vista Small Business Edition, Vista Professional Edition and Vista Enterprise Edition, and Media Center will be including the Enterprise Edition. I did hear some different stories about how that license is going to work, and the Enterprise Edition, which is effectively the Everything Edition, everything's thrown in there with extra sort of stuff in there as well, will only be available to the volume license customers. Although I'm not sure that is going to be the case. I've heard that it could be either way around on that. Of course, it's all speculation. We'll have to wait and see until Microsoft posts some further announcements. But it does look like Media Center is going to be included in one of the premium, or more than one premium version of Windows. And it's not going to be a Media Center edition, it's going to be a premium edition. Last week on the show, I mentioned about Windows Marketplace. Well, I had a look at some more details, and I've got a link for you in the show notes. But it looks like it's going to be a great opportunity to get for developers to get their 10-foot and their 2-foot applications out in front of a huge group of customers that could visit the Microsoft website. So check out the link in the show notes. It's actually www.windowsmarketplace.com. Now an email from Beric Lanier. I enjoyed the video of the MS Home and listened to your MC podcast every week, except when you're on holiday, of course. I was wondering if you might have noted the name of the photo editing software they demoed at the end of the tour. I'm very interested in the erasing feature, where they removed the legs from the photo of the dog. Any ideas what the name of the software was? It's not something included with MCE 2005, is it? That's from Beric Lanier. It was Microsoft Digital Imaging Suite that they showed, which isn't including Media Center, it's a separate program. It is a very cool program, and the demo that they showed on there was totally real. I've seen that done a couple of times now, and it works really well. So thanks for the email. This is a comment posted on the show blog. Hi Ian, I've been enjoying the podcast for a while now, and it's going from strength to strength. You mentioned the new dual tuner digital over air cards. One of the most popular brands in Australia, and also in Europe I believe, is the one that's coming out here soon, and here's a link to their product page, and it's actually Fusion HDTV, and I'll include that in the show notes. So go back to the email. Looks to be coming out late in October, going by the site. As someone who's personally built recording server using 5 digital TV cards, switching over to 5 of those dual cards would have me drooling at the thought. Though this doesn't connect to Media Center PC, it's a very cool system for recording shows using web scheduling from SourceForge. Bye for now, good luck from the show. And that's Chris from Melbourne, Australia. Thanks for that, Chris. There's just a lot of cards coming out at the moment, and it's obviously a market that's picking up. Now an email from Steve Toth. Hi Ian, been listening to your podcast for a couple of weeks. Pretty interesting. I'm a Brit that moved from the UK to New York to work on the digital TV team at Harpage Computer Works. Anyhow, I just wanted to drop you a line and say we've released the beta drivers for our Nova S Plus and Nova S2E satellite boards, which allow them to be used with Media Center 2004 and 2005 free-to-air satellite program, and it's included the URL, which is opage.de, where you can find the patches, and I'll include those in the show notes. They are focused primarily on the German market, which is a large free-to-air offering. The patch enables all of the FTA channels, with more than 40 of those being supported by fully PG. Good news, I think. Users can also tweak the registry file and add supports for other markets too. Astra 28.2, for example. We are watching the announcements in the UK about the FreeSat BBC ITV project. Once something concrete starts happening, we'll have MCE support for that too. That's great news. Anybody in Germany wants to check out that, I think I'll include the links in the show notes. And the FreeSat project is a free-to-air satellite that ITV and BBC are working on as well, so that'll be pretty good though. So don't forget, any emails you wanting to send into the show, it's isdixon@gmail.com. You can use the Skype line Media Center Show, and the forums, indixon.co.uk/forums. I really do appreciate all the emails coming in, and I'll try and read them all out. And now for a couple of news items. Today, Microsoft announced that they'll be supporting Toshiba's HD DVD format. And Sean Alexander posted an interesting post about the features of that, and Chris Lanier has also posted some stuff on his blog, and so has Thomas Hawke as well, so I'll try and include all the links in the show notes. But the thing that I found was particularly interesting was the managed copy, and I'll read what Sean put on his blog. Managed copy, a first for DVDs. Managed copy is a guaranteed feature within HD DVD that gives consumers the freedom to make copies of their discs to their hard drive or home server, including Media Center PCs, and enjoy them in every room in the house over their home networks. HD DVD discs will also allow copies of the movie to be played on portable devices. So that looks like something that sort of everybody wants, really, isn't it? It's to be able to have a copy of your DVD. So you buy your DVD, you bring it home, you rip it onto your Media Center PC, and then you can watch it around the home and on your portable devices. How they're going to get the copyright to work on that, I'm not sure. And you know, anybody with young kids knows that, you know, if you get fingerprints all over your DVDs, it's a real pain. So that's great, and most people I know you get copy the DVDs to it now. But to be able to do it legitimately is with the HD DVD format seems really good. My only hope is that it's sensible enough and not overly complicated, that it's practical. You know, I've seen the idea of going up to the web, checking your license every time you try and play some content and all. If they make it too complicated, it's just not going to work. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. But it looks good news. Read the details upon Sean's blog and also on Chris Lanny and Thomas's blog as well. Now, talking of blogs, I saw a great example of how blogging has changed the way we interact with companies. Former guest on the show, Thomas Hawke, posted almost a rant about Media Center problems, and such as his large library music problem, which he talked about on the show, and HD TV support, which he also talked about on the show, and also the lack of transparency from Microsoft on these issues. Well, Charlie Owen gave a really detailed reply on his blog, and I'll leave it for you to read and to form your own opinions. But I think it's fantastic to see that Charlie took the time to respond point by point to what Thomas has put. And then Thomas replied. I think Thomas really appreciated the detail that Charlie had gone into as well. And I just think it really shows you how we can interact with companies like Microsoft, and blogging's really changed that, and people like Charlie is helping to change that as well. So well done, Thomas, for that good post, and also well done, Charlie, for replying to that. Charlie, a friend of the show anyway. Also, I noticed on Charlie's blog that he said, "Here's a chance to tell us what we could do better to engage the Media Center development community. If you have a suggestion, leave it as a comment for all to see." So that's over on Charlie's blog, blog.retrosite.com, and I'll include links for that in the show notes. So what I think what Charlie's asking for is, you know, how can Microsoft better engage the developer community, because there has been some sort of published APIs that have been bandied around, and I think Charlie wants to know how we can work better together. So if you've got something to say, get it posted on his blog. I know Charlie will really pay attention to what you said. Before we go on to the interview, I just want to thank you all for the DRM questions sent into the show. I'm going to try and get them into the show, and that's probably going to be recorded later today or tonight, so it'll be a couple of weeks when that goes out. So I really do appreciate you taking time to send those questions in, and I really do appreciate all the emails sent into the show. I get a real buzz from getting the email in and knowing that a great community like the Media Center crowd are listening to the show. So send an email in, it's isdixon@gmail.com. Skype line is Media Center Show, and the forums are indixon.co.uk/forums. And one other thing I was thinking about, I was thinking of redesigning some of the artwork and logos that go with the show, and I'm not particularly a talented graphic artist. So I wondered if any Media Centre listeners out there, whether any Media Centre show listeners out there are better than me, and you know, fancy having a sort of designing a logo for the show that could be used in the MP3 cover art and on the website and on some other stuff. So if you want to have a go, have a try, and isdixon@gmail.com. Just send it in, doesn't matter what it is, and we'll see what happens. And anything that comes in, I'll include you, create on the show, and of course you can always have a copy of my RSS reader and News Centre. Right, now over to our first guest today. Declan Fitzgerald is going to talk to us about the new development centre opening in Ireland. So Declan, welcome to the Media Centre show.
Thanks, Ian.
And the reason we got in touch is because of a new development centre opening in Ireland. And I thought you could... And there's some elements of that around Media Centre, applicable to Media Centre, so I thought you could come on and perhaps explain to us what that is. And I believe you're still looking for a couple of roles as well, so if you could sort of tell us about those as well.
That's right. Microsoft is in Ireland now 20 years. We just recently had our anniversary a few months ago. And actually Steve Ballmer's coming over in a couple of weeks' time to meet the Taoiseach, Bertie O'Hearn, to celebrate that milestone. But as part of that anniversary, Microsoft announced the launching of a new European Development Centre in Ireland, which is a breakaway from our traditional business there of localisation and sales and marketing. We're now moving into core development work, and we are forecasting 100 new positions to be created, permanent positions, in Ireland over the next 18 months. We kicked off the recruitment campaign for the new European Development Centre with the eHome division, which looks after the Media Centre product. And what we tried to do was hire 11 people, 2 program managers, a lead software engineer, 4 software engineers, and then a lead test engineer, and a couple of software development engineers in test. So far we've hired 9 people. We've 2 outstanding positions left. We've got the lead software development engineer in test and a software development engineer in test. So we're expanding into the European market with the Media Centre, as you know, and we're looking to try to replicate the success that we've had in the States.
So just to explain what those roles are for anybody who doesn't understand the Microsoft terminology on that, including me, what are those roles, and what would you need for that?
Okay. If I start with the lead software development engineer, really we're looking for a person there who's got maybe 6 years development experience in C or C++, and someone who's got experience in developing the full lifestyle of cycle of a product, so from the generation of the specs right out the door to implementation and QA. I guess for the Media Centre, the main domain skill that we were looking for was DVB, digital video broadcasting, and we were looking for DVB-S, satellite, and DVB-T, terrestrial. And we were also looking for people with direct show skills. So it was a kind of mix of that. And someone in the lead position would obviously have to have team leading experience, so someone maybe with 2 or 3 years team leading experience. And the software development engineer would be maybe someone with 3 to 4 years development skills in C++ within a Windows environment, and I guess those guys wouldn't need to have the team leading experience. An interesting one is the software development engineer in test, or the lead software development engineer in test. It's important to note that we call them software development engineers because that's really what they are. These guys have to be able to develop in C++. They can't just read C, C++. They have to actually code it. And what Microsoft is deciding to do is it's going to outsource its manual and regression testing to make these roles a little bit more challenging, a little bit more entertaining. And what it will also allow us to do is move our resources maybe that a little bit more flexible. And because people have that basic benchmark of C or C++ development skills. And the actual developers in test will be paid the same as software development engineers. So we see them as almost equal in terms of the skill set. We've got two program managers. Program manager is kind of a unique position, I feel, in the organization, as distinct maybe other software development companies. I think it's the best way I described it is it's a technical project manager, but someone who also has maybe architect responsibilities, and obviously someone with some people management experience and responsibilities as well. It's a mix of so many different things. So we had two positions open in the PM slot, and thankfully we got them filled by two excellent candidates, a French national and a German national. Just on that point, Dean, the nine people that we did hire, we've taken people from all over Europe. We've hired people from Turkey, people from Romania, Germany, England, France, and Ireland. So it's very much an international team. But hopefully that explains a little bit about them.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you're working on the eHome and Media Center products. So is this to get a sort of more European element into the Media Center product?
That's right, yeah. The market itself in Europe is very different to the market in the States, and both are very different to the ones in Japan. And without going into the technical details of it, I wouldn't be qualified really to go into them in any great shape or form. But the product needs to be adapted to the DVB market in Europe, which is the main kind of standard being used for interactive TV. So what we're looking at doing is creating the product again with that in mind in Europe.
So considering that it works now, and I'm using it on the DVP, this is to add sort of some of the missing elements that aren't in there at the moment. Is that, you know, some of the stuff that you can get on a set-top box which you can't get on a media center, like the radio and the text services and all these kind of things.
I'm not sure exactly what the functionality of it will be going forward, but I know we're looking at replicating a lot of the functionality that they have in the States and then adding some tailorized stuff to it specifically for the European market.
And so what sort of time frame are you looking at that? So the project just get going, really, isn't it?
Oh, the sooner the better. Yeah, it's only started. We've only brought the new engineers on board as of the last 2 weeks. So it'll be a considerable amount of time for those guys even to get up to speed. They're in Redmond at the moment being trained for the next 3 weeks. And then they'll come back and they'll actually start doing some work. So it's actually hard to say when we'll have the product out on the shelf, but we're trying to do it as quick as we can.
And like you said before, I suppose it's a fairly big cultural change to have the development done in a country outside of the US on a product like this, rather and not just sort of regional settings, but it actually, you know, core parts of the product.
Yeah, it is. It's a new challenge for us in Microsoft to do that, because traditionally the mothership has been where everything's been done, but we're now coming to the conclusion that, you know, there's a lot of talent out there that we need to harness and use for our development's point of view. So that's one of the main reasons that the new European Development Centre has been set up to start piloting and testing, you know, developing core pieces of work outside of the States.
And are there any other sort of projects going on in the Development Centre other than the eHome and the Media Centre type products?
Yeah, we've got a new smart card certified centre being set up, which consists of four positions that we're hiring for at the moment. A program manager position, a lead software engineer in test, and then two software engineers in test. And that project is going to revolve around the variety of government smart cards that are out there and corporate smart cards that are out there, and seeing how they integrate with our own kind of platforms. And we're looking at putting kind of a testing environment in place in the European Development Centre just to monitor that type of stuff. So if anyone is listening is interested in those type of roles or knows of someone who's interested in those roles, we're looking for the core C++ development skills again, and someone who's got testing experience, maybe someone who's wrote a test plan or been involved in unit system or integration testing, and someone who's got exposure to the security market, so either PKIs or smart cards. And the job specs are up on the Microsoft.ie career site. or people can just send them directly to me at Declan, F-I, at Microsoft.com.
I'll include the link link for the recruitment site and your email address in the show notes, so people can pick those up through there.
Much appreciated, Ian.
Well, it's really interesting to hear that's going that way, and there's and sort of more European focused development. So I hope any listeners out there who have got those skills or know anyone who got the skills can get in touch with you and send their details off to you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, well, hopefully we can perhaps get in touch again in the future and let us know how the project is progressing.
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure to talk to you guys again, and hopefully when I do, the team will have expanded almost at that stage, and the product will be a little bit further down the road to being complete.
Thanks, Declan.
Thanks for your time, Ian.
Check out the links in the show notes, and please let me know if you apply for one of those jobs. I'll be interested to hear about it. Now, a quick message from my other podcast, The Grand Prix Show. Hi, I'm Ian Dixon.
And I'm John Lyman. If you're into Formula One motor racing, you should check out our podcast at www.thepodcastnetwork.com/Grand Prix.
We cover all the F1 news, gossip, race reviews, previews,
and a guest from the F1 world.
And that's The Grand Prix Show on the Podcast Network at www.thepodcastnetwork.com/Grand Prix. If you like Formula One, check that out. Myself and John like to talk about Formula One and Grand Prix stuff, so check that out. Let's go over to Ted Singh to bring us up to date on the CEDIA Trade Show. Well, Ted, welcome back to the show again.
Well, thank you for having me back, Ian.
And the reason why I wanted to catch up with you again was you've been to the CEDIA show. There was some media centre sort of buzz coming out of that. And first of all, I just wondered if you could explain to us what the show is and what you saw there.
The CEDIA show is, first of all, it's like a mini CES. And by CES, I mean Consumer Electronics Show. That's the big trade show that happens in January in Las Vegas. But the CEDIA show is sort of a mini CES, and it happened last week. In Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, the CEDIA is a trade organization for companies providing products and services for basically smart homes and things like home theater, home security, home automation, and obviously Media Center fits in well in that group of companies.
So what kind of what was like the hot products and the hot things you saw while you were there?
Well, I would say that there were three trends that I think it stood out for everybody. The number one trend that you saw was Media Center is everywhere, and specifically Microsoft Media Center, obviously, but it seems to be the unifying platform for everybody to develop onto for providing a smart home interface.
So there were a lot of people bringing add-ins for Media Center.
Oh yeah, I mean, people are providing Media Center PCs. People are writing add-ins to Media Center. Just as a rough sort of like estimate, I would say that maybe a third to almost 50% of the companies had a Media Center display in their booth, and most of the displays were shown very nicely on plasma screen TVs, large displays, and on touchscreens as well. So Media Center is everywhere.
So it's looking like Media Center is becoming as ubiquitous for home entertainment as Windows is for the desktop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the other trend that I noticed, and it's kind of led by the Media Center, is basically affordability, pervasiveness, and integration of smart homes. I mean, I think in the past, if you wanted to have a smart home, to put in a home automation, complete home theater and home security system, you were looking at thousands and thousands of dollars. But because now you can develop on Media Center, this smart home integration, which I see as a second trend, is also becoming pervasive. So of the two trends, of the three trends I'm going to talk about, Media Center was certainly prevalent. The The second trend, affordability, pervasiveness, and integration of home automation, home security, and home theaters was also apparent. And the third big trend that I think that people will want to know about is HDTV. And again, that relates back to Media Center as well.
So there's a big demand for HDTV, or there was people showing HDTV stuff off?
Yeah, I mean, for example, Panasonic had their Blu-ray DVD demos, and there was a lot of companies were demonstrating their 1080i and 1080p, pictures, and there was DLP manufacturers, and of course, you know, people want to bring this HDTV signal onto their media center PC. So, I mean, this is you can see that certainly there seems to be a convergence forming, and we have lots to look forward to in a few years.
Did you see that Microsoft, or there were some rumors of Microsoft released details of the Vista editions, and one of the parts of the Vista editions for the Media Center was that it had cable card support.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I'm going to have to read your podcast or your blog a little bit more carefully. I hadn't seen that.
One of the Windows sites had released sort of what Microsoft were going to be doing, and there's going to be 7 versions of Vista, and I'm not sure how accurate this is, but in the settings was a mention of cable card, and so therefore HDTV. So maybe they and the other set thing that was in there actually was DVD ripping, which I was quite surprised that Microsoft have managed to get that in there.
Well, I know that many people asked about HDTV at our booth, and we have a product called M-Theater, and people wanted to know, what are the interfaces out from our Media Center PC. And they all want HDMI or DVI or component video out. So I think that this is just a trend that is unstoppable.
Yeah, definitely. And perhaps once Vista comes out and HDTV is built into that, then I'm sure it's going to really push Media Center.
Right. You know, other thing I can just comment on, Media Center was everywhere, but also, the variety and the number of Media Center PCs that were being displayed was very interesting as well. Intel had a booth, there were a lot of different types of Media Center PCs being displayed. Obviously, HP had their display, but there was also some other good companies, Intisat and Medius, that had Media Center PCs. And we also displayed our Media Center PC M-Theater again in our booth. So there is a lot of growth in that industry, and that's very encouraging to see, because I think in the future, we're going to have a lot more choices and options in what we can use as our Media Center PCs.
Yeah, I think the era of the beige box in the home is definitely gone or going.
Yeah. Also, another sort of little micro trend that you see is that Media Center is being run not only on Media Center PCs, but more and more. I must have seen 10 or 15 booths running Media Center on, touchpads. I hope to hear more from Microsoft on, touchpad support for Media Center.
Yeah, that bit like the PC I saw at the Microsoft Home that was in the kitchen, which was a touchscreen, and you navigated through Media Center using the touchscreen, and it was just a standard version of Media Center, and the touchscreen emulated the mouse.
Right. I mean, there are some issues there in how to handle up, down, left, right on, if you want to, go back, for example, a page, it's not something that, touchpad's slightly different than a remote control. There's no back button. I think that there are some, things to work out, but it is really encouraging to see the Media Centers popping up, and, some companies are even, encouraging Media Center use, on your wall display, so that if you walk into a house, you could, you would see a Media Center interface in your, foyer, where you could start your music from, not necessarily just your TV.
Yeah, it's got the potential for that. I tend to leave my PC sat in Media Center mode quite often now, so if it was a touchscreen, that'd be really useful.
Right, and if it was a touchscreen that was, you had all these touchscreens available in multiple rooms of your house, then it's really a technology that's coming around and could have a lot of uses in the future.
And did you see any Media Center laptops?
Oh yeah, there was Media Center laptops almost everywhere as well. I mean, people are demonstrating Media Center laptops, and actually, I should mention that one of the big things that people are discussing is multi-zone use, and you know, one problem that a lot of people are working on is, you know, how to take, you know, you have a Media Center PC, your Media Center server, and how do you take your media and serve it to different zones of your house? And sometimes you want, you know, the same song to play in different zones and, you know, be synchronized. So I think that a lot of companies are working towards a multi-zone use as well.
So there's a lot of sort of innovation taking place around this digital home, and I guess having something like Media Center means it's just, at least it's a basic platform that you can build on.
I would say that by and large, the, you know, the home automation and smart home industry is, you know, there are of course outliers, but by and large, people are looking forward to using Media Center as the sort of unifying platform, and then, you know, you can develop more and more applications and integration. I think there is really a lot of standards that are going to come out in over the next few months and years.
From just watching glimpses of the PDC, the Vista stuff, the Avalon interface for whatever Media Center becomes is going to be really amazing.
Yeah, I think people have a lot of confidence in knowing that, you know, Media Center standard interface is going to be built into the Xbox, and Vista is going to have a lot of support for, you know, built-in support for Media Center, and that gives a lot of credibility to the platform in general, and so it's becoming a good development. It's just a safe bet for developers.
Yeah, you can concentrate on your application rather than on the plumbing and all that kind of stuff. Did you see the DVD player that had been brought out with the Media Center interface? Was that there?
I didn't see that. I know that you know, there are some trade shows coming up. You know, the Consumer Electronics Trade Show, and there is an Electronic House Expo that's also in November. So I think that, you know, over the next few months, it's going to be a very exciting time. We should see more and more technology revealed. And I know that you know, Intel has talked about having a significant presence at, you know, the Media Center in their booth at the CES show.
And did you see the Intel announcements a few weeks ago about their new sort of digital home platform?
Yes, actually, we did spend some time talking to Intel, and of course, they are really promoting the Vive technology, so I suspect we'll be hearing a lot about that in the next few months, and and especially how it relates to Media Center.
Yeah, because Media Center is the user interface, isn't it, for the Vive technology?
Right.
Well, it's really interesting to hear that. It's always nice to hear someone backstage at one of these shows. So it was a worthwhile trip for you then.
Oh, it was very worthwhile. We had better than expected traffic through our booth, and maybe you next time you can have me on again, and I can give you an overview of some of our new products that were released, and give you an update on our existing products as well.
Yeah, sure, that'd be a good idea. Well, thanks for giving us that update.
Yeah, no problems, and maybe I can give you an update from the Electronic House Expo in November as well.
Oh yeah, that'd be really good.
Okay, thanks Ian.
Thanks Ted. Now the final guest on the show is Jeff Twybell, and Jeff has recorded a piece at home and sent it in as an MP3 file. And if you ever had some questions about fixing the tags and the image arts and all the stuff that goes with your music on your music collection, have a listen to this piece now, because this is really good, and I followed his advice, and I've got album art and everything fixed on my machine, so have a look, have a listen to this.
Hi Ian, love the Media Center show, and just thought I'd chip in with a contribution of my own. You've had a few queries from listeners about tags and MP3 files. It's a subject that's very close to my own heart. I came to Media Center by way of a TiVo and an Xbox Media Center. I had been using the TiVo to record TV shows and the Xbox Media Center for playing back music files and video files and stuff. Decided that Windows Media Player was a good way of bringing all that together into one box, so gave it a shot. Very easy to get the TV side of it set up, or I found it was, but not so good with the music files. My collection of MP3s was I guess, around 400 albums, about 40 gigs worth of files. Everything was arranged in directories, so all the directories were named artist name dash album name, and then all the tracks were stored under each appropriate album name. Worked very well with the Xbox Media Center. That's how it works. You can just browse directories and get to the music you want, no problem. When I shifted over to Windows Media Center, different story altogether. I did try to import my MP3 files, thinking that was all that was required. But what I got was just a really big mess. I got screens full of pictures of blue headphones and blue squares, and everything was coming back. Unknown album, unknown artist, unknown track name. It was a real nightmare. So I decided, well, you know, very easy to go back to the Xbox Media Center and as it was, but thought, no, let's stick at it. Let's find out what's going on here. I did some browsing around the green button and found a few references to tags and problems that people were having, and decided that what I needed was some kind of software program to get all these tags sorted out, where they were missing, put tags in, and just fix everything. I looked around at what people were suggesting and tried a few different programs and hit upon the best one, which I thought was something called MP3 Tag from Maniac Tools in Germany. This is a paid-for program. It'll cost you, I think it's $19.95 for the MP3-only version, but well worthwhile. You know, make the purchase. Great tool to have. There should be a reference to it in the show notes, so people can find out where to download the trial version from, and if they like it, buy it. But I thoroughly recommend it. I worked through my own collection of MP3s, an album at a time, because everything was in separate directories. That was a good way to do it. MP3 tag works by trying to deduce what a tag should be. It looks at the file names, and I think it looks at the directory name as well. And it will try and work out for itself what tags should be. If it doesn't happen that way, you may find you've got some missing tags once you run it and looked at the files. Then you can go online to Amazon and something called FreeDB, which will give you the missing tags. Most of the time it's automatic, no problem. Just say, yeah, I'll have those, accept them, and tell it to save the MP3 files back with the tags in. Sometimes it hits a snag. For example, an album that exists in a UK version and an import version, you'll find that maybe the import's got a couple of extra tracks on it, or the tracks are in a different order. Then you need to do some manual intervention and work out and tell it which album it is you've got. And then things generally happen okay. That's cool. There's another facility in there on the grisly subject of album art now. MP3 Tag does have a facility for downloading album art and embedding it into MP3 files, which is a great thing, and no doubt it's something you'll have to do. But what it doesn't do is put a JPEG of the album cover into the directory. Now, Windows Media Center does need that. So I suggest not using MP3 Tag to do the art, but go onto a separate program to do that. Another good reason for doing that is MP3 Tag is great at doing tags, but I've found it not so good at working out album art. It sometimes gets it wrong, or it sometimes doesn't find any art at all. So what you need is another piece of software. This time it's a freebie. It's called Album Art Cover Downloader. Again, see the show notes for a link. This is by a Finnish guy. Don't ask me to pronounce his name, please. It's got a bit of a clunky user interface. When you're navigating directories, it starts right back at my computer, and you've got to go all the way down the tree to the music directory again. And when you've got 400 directories like I had, it does get a bit wearing, but stick at it, worthwhile. It has a go at the two ways you can use it. It will download album art automatically and just embed it straight into the files without any manual intervention. That's okay, but what I suggest using is the sort of semi-manual facility, where it will download all of the album covers it thinks are right and give you a choice of which one you want. So again, in the case of an import or a UK album, you can pick the right one and make sure you get that right. And it will embed that picture in all of the MP3 files, and it will save the very important folder.jpg file in the directory where the music is, because Media Center does need that. Okay, nearly there now. Next job is, having done that, having got the tags right and the album out right, is to then go to your Media Center computer, because of course you may not up to this point have been working at the Media Center computer. What you need to do is work on the computer where the MP3 files are stored. In my case, it's a server, but it may well be your Media Center PC, in which case, great. But yeah, go to the Media Center computer, and don't run Media Center yet. Run Windows Media Player. Windows Media Player is what does all the stuff with the library and maintains the MP3 files, and it's all bound into Media Center anyway. So run Windows Media Player, probably version 10 I would think you're using, and go to Library. There's a tab across the top which will take you to the library. Now, if like me, you've had a go at importing your files already, you'll have a big mess in the library. So best thing, highlight everything in the library and just hit the delete key. You'll get two options. One is to delete from library only, and the other one, which is the absolute no-no, is delete the files as well. Just clear out the library, but leave the files where they are, of course. And at this stage, having spent all that time and effort getting the tags right and the album art right, probably a good idea to back up those MP3 files onto a spare drive or a tape or whatever you've got, because you do not want, having spent all that time doing the tags and art, you do not want to lose those files. Okay, so you're in Windows Media Player, and you've got now an empty library. Go to File, Add Files to Library, and go to the Import Directory or Add Directory, I don't remember exactly what it is. And just point it at the root of where all the music's stored. So if you've got all your music on a series of directories on Drive D, just point it at Drive D. Or make a virtual network drive or something and just put the MP3 files on there. And just let it go, and it will work down the directory tree and bring in all the media files. If you've got a lot, it will take a while, so just set it going and leave it. Wait till it's finished. Once it's finished, great temptation is, that's it, job done. No, it's not. You need one more tool. This time it's a thing called Album Art Fixer from an organisation called AVSoft. Again, see show notes for a link. This is a great piece of software, absolutely invaluable if you're running Media Center. What it does is, you must run it on the Media Center computer, not the one where the MP3 files are, because it works on the library, which is part of Media Player, Media Center. It will scan through the whole library and look at the files in there and pick up on any problems. So if you've got any missing tags at this stage, or if you've got any missing album art, it will pick up on that and it will flag it, and it gives you the option to fix. There's just a button marked fix. If you press that, it will fix everything automatically, but you do need some manual interaction there. And one or two things need watching with that too. None of these things are perfect, of course. When you do press the fix button, some of the options you get are a bit strange. There's one that says fix location to, for example, and that tends to get married to a particular directory or something. Just always uncheck that one, I do. And then it doesn't matter where those media files are stored. I think the library will find them. But the usual thing that it throws up, and it will with all of the albums when you first run it, is something called the album artist tag. This, for whatever reason, MP3 tag doesn't pick up on this, and I've had an email dialogue already with the author of the program about it, but he hasn't got around to adding it yet. Album artist is, for example, you've got a remix album, then the album artist would be the guy that did the remixing, the DJ. It's a strange one, but that piece of software will fix it. In the case of a compilation album, for example, the album artist will be various artists. Windows Media Center does need that album artist tag to be fixed before it will properly display and play the album. So, yeah, scan everything with Album Art Fixer. Yeah, it's called Album Art Fixer, but it does do the important tags as well. It will also find, if there were some albums where they're rather obscure and you weren't able to find any album art through the other software, then usually it will find something. If that doesn't, then you're stuck with an AltaVista search or something, or maybe Amazon and grab a picture from there. But you'll get there in the end. Once you can do a complete scan of the whole library with Album Art Fixer, and it doesn't throw up any errors at all, it just goes right to the end and stops, then that's it, job done. The whole library is fixed. You can confidently close Album Art Fixer, and it will ask you for a donation, which if you found it useful is a good idea, of course. Then run Windows Media Center, go to My Music, and just sit back and watch all those albums appear. Pictures, all sorted, in order. Great, wonderful. You can search by artist, you can search by album, you can look for track names, and everything will give you a picture on the screen while it's playing. It's great, it's wonderful. Okay, Ian, that's the end. Hope you find it useful. Hope your listeners find it useful. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Many thanks for that, Jeff. And I hope everybody found that useful. And so go and get your album art fixed and all the links to the programs Jeff talked about and show notes. And if you'd like to contribute to the show like Jeff did, please let me know. iStixin@gmail.com. Okay, that's it for this week. Back to the regular show next week. So thanks for listening. I'll see you next week on the Media Centre Show. Windows Media Centre Show, written and produced by Ian Dixon. All music by Ian Dixon.